Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. What happens when we die? Not in the great philosophical and spiritual sense, but in the practical one. What happens to the body we leave behind? How do our family and friends gather to pay tribute to the life that we led? And what does it mean to be the person in charge of all of those details? Scott Turnbull is a former funeral home director, and Lara Toms is a director, and they're teaming up for a new theatre show called The Director. Welcome to both of you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
You've got to use that kind of voice when we're talking about this sort of theme. Mm. So you guys met at Dark Mofo, right?
That's right. So a couple of years back, I was working for Dark Mofo and I had my first day at work and my head was inside Scott Turnbull's crematorium. And I was in charge of making a party at his funeral chapel, which involved a whole lot of artists presenting work for one night only, where we really transformed the space into something quite celebratory.
Sounds exciting. So you met each other and then you were like, I like what this person's doing. Is that what kind of happened?
Actually, as cliche as that sounds, yeah. It was well, that kind of connection. Life. It is. So, yeah, in meeting Lara, I connected with what seemed to be an honest, hardworking ethic. And as a funeral director, you've got a lot to do in a short space of time. So hard work's one of those things I identified with as well. I also like doing creative funerals and she put Clearly. Some creative stuff in the space. So, yeah, we clicked pretty much straight away.
Do you often let people put their heads inside your crematorium?
Yeah, she's using artistic license there. It didn't go all the way in. She was perusing at the door, looking through.
So what is this new show? I assume it's less about laser shows and rock bands.
That's right. So this is just me and Scott on stage for 70 minutes talking about the death industry. And I act as almost Scott's trainee on stage. So he takes me through dressing a corpse, how to use a crematorium, the best and most popular funeral songs, how to even arrange a good bunch of flowers. And at the same time, I also direct Scott to be a better performer. And together we sort of look through all the things that it takes to kind of make a funeral work and what the industry in Australia is missing.
Okay, so what are the best and most popular funeral songs? Can I guess? Is Elton John there?
Oh, yeah, he gets a fair go.
Yeah. Did the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun?
No, not so much. No? Not in Tassie, but might be in a bigger space. But
tell me, I'm just thinking about the key ones.
There's conjecture around a couple of them, whether they're serious or not serious, and we cover a fair bit of those in the actual
Give
show
me a taste.
As well. Okay, so Eric Heidel or Eric Idle of Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, Monty Python, Joke Song or Real, Bit of a Question, Burning a Fire,
Joke Song or Real.
Wind Beneath My Wings.
Wind Beneath My Wings, Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On.
Oh, yeah.
See how there's a flavour theme here?
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah.
Is there some songs that you can't deal with anymore? You just like, no, not again.
Yeah, they have their moments. And that you learn to deal with them and learn to find the story that they connected to helps me get through the Celine Dion one. And in transparency, I'm not a huge fan of the Titanic movie and all that song. So when I hear it, I try to relate.
That is a great song though. No?
Really?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's emotional.
Well, yeah. Mm. No, I'm happy for your interest. It's just that I don't have to share it. That's all. So yeah, I connect to the family and hopefully that sort of washes the song away while I concentrate on them.
Do you ever try and steer someone away from a song?
No. If there was going to be, that would be it. But no, I don't recall ever having done that one before.
So, Lara, why did you want to do these shows around funeral homes? I mean, what's the appeal? It's a very dark topic.
It is, and I think that's part of it. It's a dark topic. It's a taboo topic. It's something that people generally don't want to talk much about. And I had my own experience in the death industry when my parents passed away, and it was very formal, conservative, uptight, traditional, and meeting Scott, it was just so interesting for me because he could deliver all of those elements in that world and he could also speak so frankly and honestly and deliver things in a very kind of artistic way, whether he would call it artistic, I don't know. So for me, there was just a real connect there and I wanted to kind of show what he thinks and does and also learn more myself.
Scott, we call this a dark taboo topic, but this is your life.
Has been a little bit for a while. So, look, the topic is, and the word is, But reference to it is, and not knowing everyone's personal details, but death is one day in a life, not a whole life. Mm. And we often reflect, and you used those words earlier, we want to reflect, and how do we pay tribute to someone? Well, maybe we live our life, and maybe when we do that reflection, we do an honest reflection of it and reflect the colour and the light and the shade of that person. We identify that they like Celine Dion, and we're going to play that piece of music at the end for them, if that's what their thing is. So I think the topic, yes, can be dark, but the way you relate to it, I think it's about time to just crack the door on it. And our show, we think, actions the conversation instead of the conversation being activated as a conversation continuum. So we're hoping that this is more actions on the words now.
Okay, so Lara, you said that Scott brings this creativity to the approach. Can you give me some examples of what a creative process looks like rather than, you know, the one that you described, which is pretty old-fashioned.
There's the stock standards, and Scott has delivered very stock standard funerals, I have to say, but he also has made a Wizard of Oz themed funeral, a funeral that has glow sticks instead of flowers, built huge sailing jetties in his chapel, ridden horses or donkeys or...
Donkeys, livestock, pets, animals, tractors, cars, the real reflections of who someone is, and not having time limits on them as well. So not having, and you've got 2 hours for this to take place and then off you go. So extending time frames for people to have longer to actually build a bigger set and bring everything from Pop's garage into the chapel. So
that's interesting you say build a set. You sound like you're putting on a theatre production, but it's a funeral.
Life is theatre. If we're looking to reflect, you can't do it just by putting 5 mirrors at the front and reflecting the congregation, because they'll all come in their own form. So the reflection is about putting the actual, my opinion, putting the actual elements of your life or mine in front of people to see openly, honestly and genuinely.
So what does the role of a funeral director actually involve? Because, Lara, you talked about, you know, dressing a body, flower arrangements.
Yeah, I think it really can be a lot of different things. And Scott was in quite a special position in Tasmania where he was able to have his own crematorium, he had his own morgue, he had a few chapel spaces that he was in charge of. So he actually got to have a really hands-on experience. From when he was 13, he was helping his parents move bodies from, you know, houses and bring them to the chapel. So not all funeral directors do have such a hands-on quality.
I have to pick that up with you now because that's incredible, Scott. 13, many parents would be really protective of a 13-year-old, you know, that's just coming into those teenage years. It's a really emotional time often. Yet you were doing this.
Or you're growing up in a funeral industry where when you go to work, you cut flowers of the morning out of the garden, you put them in the bath overnight, mum makes the arrangement, dad takes them to work, you make your own sandwiches, do your own catering. I got 6 brothers and sisters, so my mum and dad didn't have a huge amount of time to stop and have much time to themselves when they were devoting so much time to other people. So maybe that's what we're missing. That's what I think we miss in our space at the moment, is that personal continual touch, whether it be through that service. And the day starts like that, vacuuming, cleaning. There's all of that. You don't escape any of it from that point of view. So
Interesting you mentioned that, because the industry has, you know, there's obviously big chains. I'm not going to name any of them, but people know them. Mm. And it has become, I mean, it's a massive industry.
Yeah, I struggled trying to survive in one of those chains for about 7 or 8 years.
Why did you struggle?
When you go through about 9 managers in 7 years and the people in HR make jokes about it and all the rest of it, the restrictions of wanting a packet of sausages when I wanted to deliver pancake or toast or whatever the case may have been, I wanted each service to be as individual as someone needed it to be or as traditional as it needed to be. The chain theory is that they all need to look, smell and sound the same, maximum return, and off you go. It makes sense in a business logic.
Sure.
It just doesn't feel great. And there are also options of making that return, honestly,
and also
as well.
The brands themselves are owned by a head office. So it's actually a multinational corporation that's got a lot of the different brands in Australia. So it's even more, heavy-handed than we think.
It's a little contrived that you could knock on a door and meet someone and 2 days later they might be wearing a different colour tie claiming to be a different operator. So Yeah, it smells a little.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvella, Scott Turnbull and Lara Toms are my guests in the drawing room, and we're talking about The Director and funeral homes. So that must take a lot of emotional understanding to find the right ceremony for each person.
Yeah, people come with a fairly open, honest grief power. And if you're accepting of what that is in that space, giving someone the time in a conversation, using your lifelong intuition of shared conversations with many other people, you can usually guess pretty close to putting an offer in front of people and then letting them form that. And when they've got a form, that's when you come back in as a director to put shape around all of those items, all of those things, and tea, coffee, orange juice, special whiskey, firecrackers for ashes, whatever the case may be, or just in, you know, in a little box in a rose garden. It doesn't have to be always creative.
Lara, was that part of what interested you as well? How Scott, or how it, you know, how it's handled, that emotion? Because there's a lot of extreme emotion around this.
Absolutely. And I think what's fascinating for me is that Scott's quite an energetic, humorous, larrikin character, and he doesn't necessarily have this solemn and very serious personality that you would imagine funeral directors to have. So I really enjoy kind of investigating how Scott managed those two sides of himself and how people actually enjoyed meeting someone that was a lot more down to earth and a lot less serious than they expected. And we look at that in the show a lot. So it's a show about death and funeral directing, but it's pretty funny in parts, and it's pretty sad in parts, but Scott's humour is really present in it.
So what about the other side of this? Because Lara, you're learning from Scott, but Scott, what are you learning as part of this show? What does it mean to be?
How many different ways you can stand, how many different ways you can hold your face, and how much energy you need to have in the end of your fingertips, of which I didn't know you could have 10 layers of energy in your fingertips, but now I do. So for me, it's about identifying how in different fields of people's professional roles, how they create another layer of story. And my life's about, I like collecting story. That's a value for me. And so watching and working with these guys, and there's four or five other collaborators from sound and light and all the rest of it. So knowing them, knowing their work, and seeing them in that space, it's that scary learn something new and appreciate other people's professional roles.
Why did you leave the funeral business?
Got to the point of pushing my limit one step too far. I might have got a little aggressive in some of my language around staff and staff meetings and things like that.
So, right, so it was like a human resource, like it was a office, the office part rather than the funeral part.
Yeah. Pressured by versions of, trying to juggle what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. So, didn't have a good day that day.
Okay, not a good day. Would you want to go back?
Don't think I've left the commercial element of it, but I definitely haven't left death at all, hence I'm still sitting here doing this. So,
and Scott runs a coffin club in Tasmania where he works with people to build their own coffins and paint them and do what they want.
Still helping out in some spaces for sure.
Coffin club.
So West Moona Community Centre have their own setup, and they were looking for someone to give them a hand to put a few things together. I'd heard about it.
Is this often people who are terminally ill, who know that they're dying, who want to build their own coffin? Is it most likely?
There's a percentage of that, but there's also 22-year-old lady who collects ferrets, Amanda, and she's more than happy to sit there and spend 6 weeks putting her coffin together. So, a really cool cool group of people that build their own coffins.
Lara, what kind of funeral do you want to have?
I'd like a bit of a party, I think. I've been working in the arts for 10 years and part of that done a lot of party style works and events, and so I think the people around me will be pretty clued into what I
So you
I
want people
into.
To be having a really good time at your funeral?
Yeah, I think so. I think celebrating
Do you want
my life.
To cry a lot as well though?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I wouldn't mind some, gorgeous speeches, but a bit of dancing wouldn't hurt.
Do you always think? I mean, I know this is what I'm about to say. Everyone said, no, not an original thought, but I mean, my best friends had their funeral last year, and I was so struck by I wish they could hear these speeches. It really annoyed me. And I was like, why didn't they get to hear those speeches?
Totally.
Do we waste speeches? Because they are directed, yes, they're at the for the mourners as well. There's no doubt about it. But do we waste those speeches?
I think so. There are people that have living funerals, and especially I think if potentially someone is terminally ill, why are we waiting till they go to tell them how wonderful we think they are? I think it would be wonderful to sort of open up our death rituals and have all sorts of different versions of it as we get closer to it.
I think that those speeches are also driven by that moment as well. And if you can have that theory that you've just had and put that into your present day life next time you speak to your friends, maybe if you use that language more often in normal speak instead of waiting for someone to actually die, does that then change the way you deal with that death next you meet it? So, yeah. It's hard to be honest all the time because life just keeps taking over. So
life
trying
does.
To be sentimental and full on, but it doesn't take a long time to stop for 15 seconds to say to someone, actually, oh, I think you're actually great and you work. And your work is awesome, and I'm really happy to be a part of it, and you should be proud of yourself. Mm. Doesn't take long.
Was that to me, Scott?
He was looking at you. He wasn't looking at me.
Sorry.
Well,
you
know,
Scott, you could have looked at me. But look,
you've done great work.
I'm resilient.
It's the Celine Dion thing. I can't.
Well, tell me, before I let you both go, what would be your funeral song?
Oh, it's in the show. You're going to have to come and see it.
Oh, stop it. I want to ask the question too.
My funeral song. It's a bit of a dance anthem from the 90s. It's a really good one. So do check it out.
A good dance anthem from the 90s. Look, there's a bit to choose from, so I can't guess.
Do we be nice as it is that we've not been? I haven't really been that nice. So what's my funeral song, Lara? You know.
Talking Heads and She Was.
Yeah.
Ah, good choice.
Takes me back to a day floating across the whole version of what life is. And it's one of those things I heard when I was a teenager and it still resonates. I can relate everything to it nearly. So yeah.
That's amazing. Hey guys, thanks for coming in. Great conversation.
Thanks so much.
Lara Toms and Scott Turnbull have been my guests in the Drawing Room. Their show, The Director, is on at Arts House in Melbourne until December 2nd. So get online and see when the shows are on and go watch it.